Time to meet the men from the ministry. We present Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler in The Men from the Ministry, a weekly tribute to the men of our government service, men who have often been accused of not knowing what good hard work really is, to which they usually reply, "What good is it?" In the General Assistance Department, that eager executive, Richard Lamb, is always frank and fearless, always ready to lay all his cards on the table.
49, 50, 51, 52. There we are, Mildred. That's all the cards on the table.
Oh, you're not playing patience again. Last time you accused yourself of cheating and punched yourself on the nose.
Nonsense, Mildred. Anyway, I wouldn't play patience in ministry time. Oh, no. This is a conjuring trick.
Oh, yeah.
By my magic powers, I'm going to pick out the Queen of Hearts. Are you ready? There. Isn't that clever?
Well, that's the Queen of Hearts, all right. But shouldn't the cards be face down on the table?
Well, that'd make it much too difficult. I hate tricks that go wrong.
Now, what's this to? Playing cards? Must I do all the work in this office?
Oh, come off it, one. I wrote a letter only last week. I do more than my share.
Yes, well, that may be your impression too, but it isn't mine. I toil in this place from 12 in the morning till 4 at night. No wonder the permanent undersecretary feels I should have a medical checkup.
But we're all having checkups, man.
Mr. Lamb and I have ours in the morning, sir.
Really? Oh, yes, well, I'm off to mine now. Oh, yes, of course. Senior staff this afternoon, the rest tomorrow.
Anyway, one, you look very fit.
Oh, yes, well, one tries to put up a show, too, you know. Yes, but I don't mind telling you, the stairs in the office seem a lot steeper these days. I can't run up the last flight like I used to.
You can still run down them when it's time to go home.
I'll just go straight home after the medical and take an aspirin, I think. I feel a cold coming on, and I've got a heavy day tomorrow.
The business efficiency exhibition?
No, we don't need to see that. No, I've a business lunch with Bicky Ballantyne. He's asked us to tie up the travel arrangements for this peace conference at Brighton.
Oh, you mean make sure all the foreign delegates get there?
Yes, tricky business. May need personal liaison. Wouldn't mind a few days in Brighton.
Funny place, Brighton. Old Rudge at the Board of Trade spent his honeymoon there.
Yeah, so I heard. I gather he went down the corridor one night to have a bath, and when he came back, he couldn't remember which room he was in.
That's right. Hasn't seen his wife since.
Well, I'm going down for my medical. I hope this doctor's on the ball. I haven't felt too good lately. But I carry on, you know. Oh, yes, yes. Yes, I carry on.
Yeah, he carries on something chronic.
I'm afraid he's a hypochondriac, Mildred.
Well, I wouldn't mind that, but he always thinks he's ill.
Of course, it's just an excuse to pass all the work on to us.
He's always making a fuss about something. Yesterday, he was grumbling about his liver.
Was he?
Yeah, said the canteen put too much gravy on it.
I'm afraid, Mr. Lennox Brown, I can't finish the examination unless you strip completely as everyone else does.
I'm sorry, Doctor, but I must refuse.
Well, having taken everything else off, I can't see why you object to removing that final item.
Please understand, madam, that I am not removing this bowler hat for anyone. There's a very nasty draught from the fanlight. Once I feel the slightest suspicion of a cold in my head, I do my utmost to stamp on it.
I must say, you haven't made my job any easier. When I tapped your knee, it was quite unnecessary for you to slap my hand.
A reflex action, madam. Now, may I put my clothes on again, please?
Before you do, I'd like to take another look at this. Stand there. Now, let me see. Yes. Very unusual.
Surely not.
I'm afraid it is. You see, normally, people have only one.
Well?
You have two.
Yes, but they don't give me any trouble.
You don't find them awkward at any time?
Certainly not.
Well, I suppose civil servants have to have everything in duplicate.
Madam, please.
It really is most interesting.
Well, you don't have to stare like that. What a fuss about nothing. I've got a callus on each elbow. So what?
Well, you'd better get dressed now, Mr. Lennox Brown. I'm going to make a few notes about you.
Notes, eh? Oh, yes. I dare say you're going to recommend sick leave. Huh? On full pay, of course. Yes. 6 months should do the trick, you know. A long sea voyage. Yes. The Bahamas, perhaps.
Quite the reverse.
Oh, you mean I should stay at home? Yes, well, you may be right. Gentle round of golf in the afternoon, a spot of bridge in the evening, a nourishing meal, a little wine, a little brandy.
Mr. Lennox Brown, you are A1.
Oh, do you think so? Yes, well, I like to let my hair down at the staff dance.
You are perfectly fit.
What? Fit? Perfectly fit?
And you'd be even fitter if you worked harder for longer hours.
Oh, dear. I'd better sit down. Quite fit, eh? Oh, well, there's nothing more to be said, then.
Absolutely nothing. You have a clean bill of health.
It's a bit of a shock. After all this time, one might have thought I'd be cracking up. I gave the best years of my life to the ministry, and now this. Perfectly fit, eh? There you are, you see. I knew it, yes, a cold. I have got a cold coming on.
With your rude health, you'll soon shake it off.
Ah, well, it's the central heating in this place, you know. It never works properly. One day too hot, next day too cold. It was out of date when Mr. Gladstone installed it.
Mr. Gladstone?
Obadiah Gladstone, the builder. Never had much faith in that firm.
Hmm. Faulty central heating, eh? For once, I think there may be something in what you say. I've heard it make some odd noises.
Oh, I've been complaining about that central heating for years.
It could be very bad for the health of the staff.
Yes, I'm surprised they don't all get pneumonia.
I'll have Mr. Lamprey, the ministry's central heating expert, come over and take a look at it in view of your complaint.
I put the Brighton Peace Conference file on Mr. Lennox Brown's desk, Mr. Lamb.
Thanks, Mildred, but he's sure to pass on the job to me.
You know, he takes advantage of you, Mr. Lamb. You ought to spend some time giving him a piece of your mind. But I suppose you've got none to spare.
Yes. Wait, what?
Just looked in to tell you I'm off.
Righto, one. Oh, how did the medical go?
Two. These things are supposed to be confidential.
I'm sorry.
Yes, let's just try and keep it that way, shall we?
Very well, one, if that's how you feel.
Yes, it is, yes. What's the time, by the way?
3:45.
Ah, infernal nuisance. I meant to go early today. Oh, by the way, I may be a shade late in the morning, too. I'm popping in to see my solicitor.
But that means that the office will be empty, one. Mildred and I'll be having our medicals with the doctor.
Never mind, you can put a notice on the door. Mr. Lamb and Miss Murphy not away being doctored.
Oh. And Mr. Lennox Brown is out soliciting. Righto, one.
Good night, sir.
Good night.
Yeah, I wonder how he did get on with the doctor. He seemed ever so moody. Do you think he's all right?
Of course he's all right, Mildred.
I hope we don't have injections tomorrow. Do you remember the flu epidemic? They jabbed Mr. Smelly Brown of admin and he turned yellow. And when they jabbed Mr. Peddle of planning, he turned yellow. Did you turn yellow, Mr. Lamb?
No, green. I was yellow to start with.
Medicals can be so embarrassing. I mean, standing there in the... Well, standing there without any... I mean, I can't imagine Sir Gregory having a medical. Oh. Yeah, yes, I can.
At my last medical, I had one of those awful sarcastic doctors. After he'd examined me, I said, "Tell me, doctor, how do I stand?" And he said, "It beats me."
Well, I'm going to settle down with me magazine and forget all about medicals till tomorrow morning.
Would you like the 10 o'clock appointment instead of me, Mildred?
No, thanks, Mr. Lamb. I don't mind waiting.
Pity. I hate being first in the surgery. I like to give the doctor's hands time to warm up.
Well, we'll neither of us be there by 10 o'clock if we don't hurry.
It's all right. The room's just round this next corner, where they usually keep all the pink forms waiting to be filled in.
I say, Mr. Lamb, from one lot of bare pink forms to another.
Oh, oh my word, Mildred, that is good. I must tell Mr. Lennox Brown that one.
He could do with something to cheer him up, the way he looked yesterday after his medical.
Here we are, Mildred. Oh, dear, it's a woman doctor.
Well, go on, gone in. The door's open.
I'm not sure if I can. That's to say, I wondered.
Excuse me, is this the doctor's room?
Yes.
Do you mind if I go in ahead of you? She's called me in specially.
No, no, please do. I don't mind waiting. You go right ahead.
Oh, thank you. Excuse me, Doctor. My name's Lamprey.
Ah, Mr. Lamprey, come in. Good of you to call so promptly.
Thank you. I made a thorough examination, as you requested, and I thought I'd give you my opinion straight away.
Did you hear that, Mildred? Mr. Lamprey. She's obviously called in a specialist about somebody.
Yeah, you'd think they'd shut the door if they're going to talk about a patient, wouldn't you? I mean, people could overhear them.
Quite right, Mildred. It's disgraceful.
There's no privacy for anyone around here.
Mildred, how can I overhear when you're talking?
Now then, Mr. Lamprey, you're going to give me your opinion of Mr. Lennox Brown's complaint. What can we do about it?
Mildred, it's Mr. Lennox Brown.
Well, I don't think there's much we can do at this stage. It's too far gone.
He says he's too far gone.
Oh.
Whole system's an absolute wreck. All pipes are hopelessly furred.
No point in a bit of lagging round the bottom?
None. There are joints coming loose all over the place. Circulation's getting slower all the time.
No wonder Lennox Brown complained of feeling hot and cold.
Well, at first I thought we might insert a long-handled brush. Give all principal pipes a good pull-through.
That's an idea. Then flush out and seal up the cracks.
But I realize now it wouldn't work. There's nothing you can do once you get leakage on this scale. Yeah, it's a pity I wasn't called in before.
Well, the first I knew of the trouble was when Mr. Lennox Brown came in yesterday. What will you recommend?
Once things have reached this stage, there's no point in telling people. Only create alarm and despondency.
Just let the old geezer go quietly downhill till the end.
It won't be long. I'll tell them to start discreetly looking round for a replacement.
Well, I mustn't detain you, Mr. Lamprey. Thank you for letting me know.
Not at all. I'll send in today's first patient, shall I?
Yes, please. It's, let me see, Mr. Lamb.
Ah, funny. There was a chap here a moment ago. Oh, yes, there he is. He seems to be trying to hide behind the fire bucket.
Come along, Mr. Lamb. Drink this while it's hot. We don't want to lose both our top executives.
What a morning, Mildred. First that dreadful shock over poor Mr. Lennox Brown, and then that embarrassing experience with the doctor.
What happened exactly?
Well, she asked me about our office habits, and I told her we drank a lot of tea. Then she asked me for a specimen. Well, fortunately, I had some of our morning cups still left in my hip flask. So I went behind a screen and poured it into a test tube.
And 10 minutes later, she threw you out.
I still don't know why. I just can't think straight after hearing about poor LB.
How right he was when he said he was off colour.
And we didn't even believe him. We called him a hypochondriac. Shall we ever forgive ourselves?
Oh, don't you fret, Mr. Lamb. Now relax. That's why I brought you down the canteen.
You're right, Mildred. We must do all we can to make Mr. Lennox Brown's last days as happy as possible.
We must see he never knows what a mess he's in. How his pipes are furred and his joints are loose.
We must make sure his days are full of peace and fulfillment and that he wears a cheerful smile when he finally hangs his brolly in that great ministry in the sky.
Oh, that's beautiful, Mr. Lamb.
12 o'clock, we must get back to the office. That poor brave soul will be there soon, fighting his lonely battle with destiny.
Yes, Mr. Lamb.
Bring the rest of those biscuits with you. We'll eat them upstairs. Whatever we do, we mustn't give Mr. Lennox Brown the slightest hint that anything's unusual.
Morning, too. Morning, Mildred.
Morning, man. What a lovely day. Ah, let me take your briefcase. Sit in this nice comfy chair and put your feet up.
I've plugged up the cushion specially for you. Now, easy does it. There, let me hang up your coat.
Just a minute, Mildred. I'd like to take it off first.
Word, Mr. Lennox Brown. Always a merry quip, in spite of everything.
In spite of everything?
In spite of having to be in so early, yes. You ought to have a good lie-in in the mornings, you know. Mildred and I can cope.
Yes.
Two, of all your peculiar moods, I dislike your sarcastic one most. It's 12:15.
I told you I should be half an hour late today.
Well, what I say is you expect the head of a department to be late after all these years of work. We don't resent it.
No, no, we like to think of you as the late head of the department. That is to say, I mean...
Place is more like a madhouse than ever. What's going on here?
No, the office is just as usual. There's nothing going on.
Well, what about work?
Ah, you mustn't worry about that one.
Worry? Well, I'm not worried.
Good. That's how it should be.
Yes, but someone had better fix this conference thing.
I'll do that one. We can't foist problems on a man in your condition. In your position.
Yeah, you've done enough for one day.
But I've only just got in.
Don't overdo it, Mildred. He mustn't know.
No? No what?
No carbon paper. That's it, no carbon paper. We must order some from stationery.
There's a pile of it by your elbow.
By Jove, that was quick.
Well, I suppose you know what all this is about. Anyway, as you're so keen on work, you might as well handle this new job. There you are. It's all in this file.
Oh, thank you, Al. It'll be a pleasure.
A privilege, sir. Oh,
Mildred and I clubbed together one and bought you today's copy of the Sporting Times.
Oh. Oh, thank you. Yes, I had a tip for the 2:30, as a matter of fact. Now, wait a minute, what was it? Let me see. The runners are... Here we are, yes. Coroner's Court, gone for good, feet first. What on earth's the matter, Mildred?
It's nothing, but she got her eyelashes caught in the typewriter again.
Well, all right, if you'll handle both these jobs, I'll go off to lunch with Beaky Ballantyne. Yes, I'll see you later.
Oh, I hope so, Mr. Lennox Brown. I do hope so.
Well, Mildred, now that he's gone...
Oh, don't say that, Mr. Lang.
I mean, now he's gone to his club. We've got to lay on travel and accommodation for those delegates. Somewhere near that big conference hall by the sea. You throw yourself into that. I'll deal with this new job in the file. This one's from the Ministry of Labour, something about permits for a group of international cabaret artists.
Oh, yeah.
They say they've been booked for some Soho club. I'll have to check that they go to the right place.
Well, I suppose work is a comfort at a time like this. We'll have to keep our noses up and our chins to the grindstone.
Yeah, quite, yes. Poor Mr. Lennox Brown. Somehow I just can't imagine this department without him.
Oh, Mr. Lamb. Here, what are you doing at Mr. Lennox Brown's desk, sitting in his chair and doodling on his pad?
Hello, Mildred. I didn't see you come in. As Mr. Lennox Brown's not here, I thought I'd have a swivel in his chair.
Oh, Mr. Lamb, how could you? Vulture, that's what you are. Can't wait to step into his shoes.
No, Mildred, honestly.
You'll be having your tea in his coronation mug next.
Just that one ought to be prepared, that's all.
Yeah, well, you've no right trying out his chair. You'd be better off keeping your own chair in order. It squeaked something horrid when I tried it out. Where is Mr. Lennox Brown, anyway?
He hasn't come in yet.
You know, I didn't see him yesterday afternoon, either.
No, they were coming round for a collection for old Tubby Crabfoot's wreath. So... I thought I'd better get LB out of the way. I sent him off to that cinema down the road.
Well, that wasn't a good idea. Do you know what's on?
No, what?
Death of a Salesman.
Oh, dear. Still, perhaps he was like me and just stayed for the cartoon and the ice cream ads.
You don't think he suspects we know?
Of course not, Mildred.
He hasn't done a stroke of work for a week.
Well, that's what we wanted, wasn't it? For him to go on just as usual. And we've dealt with those two jobs for him. I don't think he thought we'd be able to do it.
No. He keeps asking me if we've heard from the conference people yet.
And have we?
No, not yet.
Don't worry. I'm at the helm now, Mildred, steering a true course.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Richard Lamb steering. Speaking.
Dr. Gribble here. Lamb, did you say? The man I saw last week.
That's right.
I had a word with the psychiatrist on Monday. He'd be most interested to meet you.
Dr. Gribble, I utterly reject your suggestion that there's something wrong with my brain. There's absolutely nothing in it. Besides, we were much too busy for that sort of thing in this department.
Ah, that brings me to the point of my call. I take it you're Mr. Lennox Brown's assistant.
Yes.
Then perhaps you're aware of his complaint.
Oh, yes, I knew about it. I didn't know you knew I knew. Do you know if he knows you know I know?
Are you sure you won't see that psychiatrist, Mr. Lamb?
Certainly not.
To get back to Mr. Lennox Brown's complaint.
Yes.
I'm ringing to say it's all over. His worries are finished.
Thank you. I'll make a note. All over? Mildred, Mr. Lennox Brown, it's all over.
Hello? Are you there?
Yes. Can you give us any details?
Bottom burst. Early this morning, apparently. We've been expecting it, of course. Whole system finally packed up.
Oh, poor Mr. Lennox Brown.
Oh, I shouldn't worry about him. No doubt he'll move off to somewhere warmer.
Doctor Grimmer!
No time to chat, I'm afraid. I've got to advise on the right type of replacement.
Replacement? So soon?
Naturally. Can't leave the office girls with no means of getting warmed up. Anyway, the point of my call is, will you please pass on the message? Good day.
That's that then. We're to tell everyone else, apparently.
Oh, poor Mr. Lennox Brown.
I think I'll cover his geranium.
Yeah, use that copy of Racegoers Roundup. He did like that.
I suppose we'd better start collecting for a wreath.
We'll collect in his old tea caddy. He won't be needing that anymore.
No, the tea'll flow like milk and honey where he's gone. There's my little contribution.
What, all those foreign coins?
It's the thought that counts, Mildred.
Well, this is from me. It's not much, but tomorrow's payday.
Oh, there, Mildred. He wouldn't want to see you like this. Nose red, mascara running.
Morning, Joe. What on earth are you doing with that tin full of coin?
Hello, one. We're collecting for a wreath for you. I don't know if you'd care to give... One, what are you doing here? Why are you still alive?
I beg your pardon, too.
The doctor, one, on the phone just now about your complaint.
Complaint? Doctor?
We heard him say your pipes were all furred and your joints were loose.
Just a minute, Mildred. That must be my complaint about the central heating system.
Central heating?
Yes, of course, on the point of breaking down. In fact, it has broken down by the look of old Matthews in the porter's cubbyhole. He's never much of an asset to the ministry entrance with that old balaclava helmet. Now he's stuffed it with newspaper.
Oh, then you're not going to die?
Not till I've had 30 years of my pension, I assure you.
Honestly, one, what a rotten trick. And we've done all the work in this office for a week.
Yeah, both them big jobs. The foreign delegates and the cabaret artists. We sent the peace delegates to that club in Soho, and the cabaret artists down to...
Mildred.
Yeah?
What are you saying?
Pardon?
But the delegates were for the peace conference in Brighton. And you sent them to Soho. To a nightclub. General Assistance Department, Lennox Brown.
Maxie Burns here, the Blue Banana Nightclub.
The Blue Banana Nightclub. In Soho, I suppose.
Yeah, you got it in one, Lenny boy. It's about this European lot you sent us.
Yes, I thought it might be. Now, look, the point is, Mr. Burns...
Where'd they come from, Lenny boy?
I've been away, you see.
They're the greatest act I've ever seen.
My assistant... My assistant, who isn't entirely responsible for his actions, has made us some... What?
Yeah, sensational. I opened the cabaret with my regulars, the four sophisticates, a song, a smile, and a G-string, and then your lot comes on.
Then my lot comes on.
A slow start, of course. They just sat and looked at the audience. Then one geezer gets up and starts speaking in some cod foreign chat. Talk about love. Well, this other one keeps interrupting him. Then they start fighting.
Fighting? A peace delegate?
They're thumping each other with briefcases, aren't they? Of course, the audience goes wild. I'm booking them for the rest of the month. Then we do a tour.
I don't want to know any more.
You mean you won't even take 5%?
No, thanks. Goodbye. If you sent the peace delegates to a nightclub...
Yeah. Then the international cabaret troupe must have gone to the... Oh. Oh, Lord.
And here is the news read by John Curl. There were amazing scenes at today's opening of the Brighton Peace Conference. The first foreign delegate began the proceedings by declaring, in a somewhat sing-song manner, "I want the sun in the morning and the moon at night." He repeated this demand several times. In his reply, the Prime Minister condemned this selfish attitude to the space race. Another speaker appeared dressed in a lion skin, apparently his national costume, and swallowed 3 knives and 2 swords. Next delegate, a young lady clad only in an ostrich feather, then danced across the stage to tumultuous applause. The Foreign Secretary said he earnestly hoped they'd see more of her.
Dolls, switch it off, too. Of all the dunder-headed, incompetent, nit-witted... Oh, just because I was dying for a few days, you thought you could get away with murder.
Sorry, Juan, we must have mixed the files up.
We were so upset, sir.
Look, Juan, have your caddy back, and tomorrow I'll fill it with best tea.
Oh, no, no. You'll need that for collecting money, too. For the wreath.
But no one's going to need a wreath now.
You think so, too?
Juan, no, put that ebony ruler down. Oh. Don't throw that typewriter. Remember what happened last time.
Yes.
You do
isn't.
No, stop. Please don't run now.
Muddling through as the men from the Ministry were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Norma Ronald, John Graham and Joan Sanderson. The program was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham and produced by Edward Taylor.